Why are you running for Congress?
Well, I feel that we need a government that represents the people. We need a government that is going to actually make things happen. We can't keep going with our deficits like we're doing, and they seem to ignore them. You know, Congress put out a bill last fall that had us being a balanced budget in 10 years. But if you looked at the 9-year time frame, according to their numbers, we'd be $8 trillion more in debt. So, you know, it's like they don't seem to care that we keep getting further and further in debt, you know. And there's other reasons, but that's one of the major reasons, yeah.
So the debt, what would you do to address it?
Well, the overall scope of the government is too large, or the federal government is too large. So it would take reductions in most areas. Maybe some cabinet positions may be reduced to nothing, you know, like the Department of Education. I know a lot of people are for it or against it. You don't seem to be anybody in between. But the federal government isn't supposed to have jurisdiction over the local school system, and the states are in charge of that. So, but there's you'd get rid of fraud, you know, try to reduce fraud, reduce wasted spending, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things we can do.
Are there specific examples of waste or fraud that you could point to?
Well, welfare, fraud and welfare, you know, you got a lot of people who can work that are on welfare. You know, we know there's fraud going on. We know that we're sending money overseas to countries that are our enemies. We need to only, you know, if we send money to a country, we need to see something for it. If it, you know, to, you know, if we send something to Iran, for instance, you know, like Obama did, he just gave it to them, right? If we give money back or we give money to them, we need to see something for it. That's what, you know, that's what it's all about. People think that's cruel, but, you know, were we here to give free handouts to the world?
So you say you want to see something. What would you want to see, for example, from Iran in exchange for money?
For Iran, open for the nuclear sites, for instance, for their nuclear testing and all the nuclear products that they're doing, make sure that they are not moving ahead with their nuclear program, right? You know, have them treat their people better. Have them be more open. Have them recognize Israel. For instance, at least that it recognizes that it is has the right to exist.
What would you say is the biggest issue facing the 18th Congressional District, and how would you go about addressing it?
Oh, wow. We're a large farming community, but I think our farming's doing fine in this community. I mean, we have subsidies, and I'm not so much for subsidies, you know, and that's a bad thing to say in the farming community, such. But you know, a lot of farmers say, "Well, don't really give us subsidies on the grain. Give us protection as far as insurance. Insurance on our grain. You know, make the insurance cost cheaper for us. You know, for disaster reasons. That's one. Our job market in this district seems to be lessening, you know, with Caterpillar, you know, and such. And we need to find ways of bringing the businesses to this district. And, you know, I think and that's a state issue. The state in itself has a lot of issues going on. You know, it's on its way down to bankruptcy if it doesn't stop spending and wasting so much money, you know, and start watching their budget. So the state has to be in control of that. And I don't know how we solve a state issue from a federal level, right? You know, there's a separation of powers there, right? So,
is there anything you feel you could do if you were the congressman to help bring jobs to the district?
Yeah, I would help support state efforts. I would support district efforts, whether you know the politicians from this district, you know, whether you know, and my politicians. I'm from the eastern side of the district. So my politicians are a little bit different from the western side of the district. So there's, you know, I have Tom Bennett, you know, as a state representative, you know. So, I mean, it's different than the rest of the district. But you'd have to get all them together, find their problems, have communication, find where we can have common ground and with the state in order to, you know, if for instance, our transportation infrastructure and the bridges and you know, the waterways, the rivers, make sure that they're open, make sure they're functioning well so that we can continue to have commerce.
Is that something the federal government should be involved with, is the nation's infrastructure, the roads, the bridges, the rivers, like you said.
Yes, I believe so. I don't know if it's in the Commerce Clause or not, but it is definitely in as far as being able to give the states the ability to trade and transport goods, yeah.
Would you include broadband in an infrastructure bill, bringing broadband to rural areas?
You know, I think they had that already. At Illinois, I don't believe, took hold of it. In the counties in Illinois, I know Missouri grabbed it. Missouri, you go out to a small town in Missouri, you go out to a rural house in Missouri, and they'll have fiber to the house, and that was subsidized by the federal government. You know, some of that money was given through there, from what I understand. Now, in Illinois, that didn't happen, and I don't know why. So I live in the rural country. I live in the country. I live out in the middle of nowhere. The only way that I get internet is through an antenna of the town. You know, that's the only way I get it. I don't have fiber. You know, I don't have cable. You know, I'm not going to send through the copper wire of the phone, right? You're not going to get high enough speeds. So, but yeah.
You think that's would be a good investment for the federal government?
I think it's part of the infrastructure. Yeah.
What about the next farm bill that Congress is in the process of working on right now? What would you like to see included in that?
I haven't looked at this farm bill. I know there's been talk of it, and I've read a little bit about it, but I haven't looked at the farm bill to know what's in it and what's not in it. I know the farm bill has other things tagged to it to make it pass, right? And I'm a big believer in letting bills pass on their own without being piggybacked. You know, like the food stamps go on the farm bill in order to make the farm bill pass, right? If you took there's not a lot of people interested in the farming community anymore since it's like 2 million people. I grew up on a farm. I grew up on a small farm, and I believe in the family farm. So I believe in a strong farm bill that will help out the farmers. But I believe that we have to have a free enterprise and a free market out there. So they've got to be able to hold their own in that market.
Where did you grow up, and where do you live now?
I live outside of Benson, between Benson and Minunk, and I went to school at Minunk Dana Rutland. So I lived on the other side of Minunk before, and now I live on the other side between Minunk and Benson now. It's in Woodford County.
Okay. And what do you do?
I work at State Farm. I've been at State Farm Insurance down in Bloomington for 27 years. I'm a technical analyst down there. So.
All right.
And I was a prison guard for 6 years as well.
What about, and I believe you addressed this earlier, you think the federal government should not play a role in K-12 education?
The federal government's role in K-12 is should not be a controlling role, not a bribery role of any kind. Say, here, if you do this, we'll give you money. None of that should occur. If they shouldn't be keeping track of our students as far as individual numbers for each person. I think that's an invasion of privacy, and I think that's what the old Russian government used to do, is keep track of their students and say, here's your career because this is what you graded at in first grade. We shouldn't be keeping track of our students. And that's we should let each state control its own, because it knows in this state, in downstate Illinois at least, we're a farming community. It should be, they will want to be in farm-based stuff in order to, support the community. You get down to Texas, maybe it's oil, or you get, it depends what state you're in, what the schools should be teaching for their local area. And that's what creates diversity in this country, that's what made us great. Not that we were all the same from New York out to Los Angeles.
So what role should the feds play in K-12? Is there some sort of role for the federal government?
Yeah, I think that they know what we need for universities, what we need for colleges and such. And I think there should be some knowledge of that, some way. If we get into World War II happened, the government was looking for physicists, right? They needed to create a nuclear bomb, right? They were looking for physicists. Well, if we don't have any type of structure in place, any type of way of knowing who and where and what best schools were best, higher education was best, then it would have been a little harder to go about finding the people we need when we need them. But, they should support and help. Because they're cross-state commerce, right? So they should know what one state has to another. Maybe for, like, the university and stuff, you got your universities have their authorized to be the be able to teach in that district and such. But it's for K through 12, just an oversight, not much, you know. And some people would say get rid of the Department of Education altogether. But I think there might be some good there as long as they're really handcuffed and they don't mess with, you know, bribery with the education of the student, to let that all be to the states. Yeah.
What about higher education? Is there a role the federal government should be playing in that?
In order to assist the universities and such with knowing where we're hurting at in the job market and where we're not, you know, and knowing what the goals are of the federal government and what we see in order to help this country move forward, like I sense, you know, what if, like Java, like I said a little bit ago, like Java, you know, maybe we're short on Java programmers, but we have too many mainframe users and COBOL or something that you don't need as many as those. And they'll know that nationwide, where the University of Illinois may not know that, or ISU may not know that, or here in Macomb they may not know that they need more Java in California. Yeah.
Is there something the federal government can do to help college graduates with their student debt?
if you borrow money, you should pay it back. And I think that's why there's word out there that I've heard that the reasons that some of the college tuition has gone up because the government took over the debt, because now they're guaranteed to get it paid back. So now they can get it paid back, and then all these, you know, some people default on their loans. Well, then the taxpayer's stuck paying that. And it also made the tuition go up. So it's a double-edged sword to have that occur, because you could have had cheaper tuition, you know. And so I don't – the government should – you know, I'm a lean government, and, you know, and a lean government means opportunity for people, and it means growth. And that in itself will help people pay their tuitions in college. I mean, I've paid mine all the way through, you know, but it's – and it's – you know, it's – and I didn't have no special – I wasn't born with a silver spoon or anything. So, you know, I still did it. So it's just a matter of working hard and moving your way up, and what you borrow, you pay for.
Could the federal government do anything to help students pay for their higher education?
Well, like I said, what happened with the government, I would say, you know, if you want a blanket answer, I would say no. But, I mean, I could see where they could have assistance in some sort, where they would tell them where to go, or, you know, tell them how to go about getting loans and such like that. And, you know, the government shouldn't be in the market of as a bank, you know.
Yeah. You say you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth, so it seems like it's getting very expensive to run for office on just about any level. How are you managing to fund your campaign?
Yeah, isn't the cost for running for government ridiculous? Why would somebody pay $10 million to get an office somewhere, or $2 million, or even $1 million to get an office somewhere that pays – you know, the Congress is one of the higher paying roles, is $174,000 base salary. And, you know, and somebody will pay $1 or $2 million or even much more than that to get the seat.
You know, what do you suppose that is?
I have fears why that is, but it's ridiculous. I don't know. And like your question for me is, how do I support myself? I don't take money from any place. So I've had sisters give me a little bit of money last time, just for a couple few hundred dollars, and then $100 this time. I support myself and I run myself through it. If you borrow money from someone to run for office, or you take money from someone to run for office, they give you money. You know, I had a business owner one time, a large business owner, was, you know, thinking about giving me money. And I said, no. I said, if – and he says, why is that? And I said, because if I take the money and I lose, I feel let you down. And if I take the money and I win, I feel I have to owe you something. And I don't want that. I don't want that make my decisions different than what I think is best for this country. Now there are organizations that will give money to people who support their cause, not because they're trying to support it because they got money. But see, like, I'm pro-life, and there might be pro-life organizations that would give me money, but it's not because I'm going to do anything they want. It's because they support my agenda. But, you know, me being small potatoes, you know, like, you know, who's this guy running, right? I'm just a local guy of the community running for this office. And I think that's what the House of Representatives should be, somebody that is that kind of person. That's not going to stay in office long. And, you know, I believe in term limits and be there to help this country out.
Well, now, when you say term limits, how many years should someone be in Congress?
For the House of Representatives, I would be open to anywhere from maybe 6 to 10 years in Congress.
Well, why do you think that's beneficial rather than the current system?
So you don't lose touch with the people. You know, you get past 10 years, you start losing touch with the people. You start getting maybe power hungry, or you start seeing things differently, and start being influenced by outside forces that you know is not from your community. You know, you shouldn't, you know, like, you know, you're getting donations from the sugarcane company or the oil company. Well, we don't get no sugarcane here in this district. Why are we getting donations from the sugarcane companies? Or, you know, so it's things like that. It helps you stay focused on your community, and it helps the next person in, and then knowing that you're going to be in there to do what's right for the country, and then the next person comes in, maybe you can even help them in, right? And I think it's a better scenario.
Getting back to the money, what would you do to try and rein in some of the spending that goes on in political contests?
Oh, in political contests?
Yeah, in campaigns.
Yeah.
Is there something you can do to rein that in?
Well, there. What was the agenda? Where the corporations could now give large sums of money.
Yeah, the Supreme Court says it's free speech for corporations to give money.
Yeah, and I disagree with that. So I would want a law passed to change that. You know, I'd want that changed because, you know, people run the Congress. It says, you know, we the people. It doesn't say we the corporations.
Do you think that could pass constitutional muster? I mean, this is what the Supreme Court ruled.
If done right, I think it can. Yes, if done right. I mean, I would hope we wouldn't need an amendment to make that change, but if done right, I think it could.
It also seems there is extreme partisanship in politics. There's no willingness to compromise. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
It depends on the issue. There's plenty of issues you can compromise on. Like, for instance, I am not pro DACA. You know, allow men, and Obama started that with that allowing them. You know, and what Trump did was stop the DACA. Right? He just discontinued it. But I'm not pro DACA at all. I am anti DACA. The compromise that is coming to light. To build a wall, to stop chain migration, to stop the lottery system for just any immigrant that come to this country. The willingness of the president, I bet that surprised everybody. He said, okay, I said my campaign, no DACA, but if we're willing to get these things done, I'll compromise and do the DACA. Okay, that's a compromise. That can work. Well, let's do that. But I would like stipulation on that piece to make sure that we don't do this again. Because that's one of the reasons the immigrants keep coming, the illegal immigrants, is because sooner or later they become citizens. I mean, you know, I think Reagan did it even. You know, Reagan, Martin did it, and I think it happened in the 90s some. But some things I wouldn't compromise on. I'm pro-life. You can't compromise life. So there's definitely room for compromise and even things that I would be against, like DACA. And I could see that working because that's a working solution for long term for this country so we can get past it and move on to real things.
So regarding immigration reform, as long as the things you mentioned are included, you might be willing to go along with that.
Yeah. I'd like one other piece in there in the law to state that make that a law and make it harder so they could do it so that this couldn't be done again where we allow the dreamers, you know, and it's like Trump said, though, you know, Americans are dreamers too. You know, we're the dreamers. So, but to, if we're going to allow the dreamers to become citizens, that we don't allow this to happen again. That's a law is made that we cannot do this again. That would make illegal people, citizens.
People who were brought here when they were 1 or 2 years old and know no other country other than America, you still consider them to be illegal immigrants?
Yes. I have a heart for them, and I really feel for them. And you know, but what was the intention of the parents? Was the intention of the parents to become chained to them, you know, once they become a citizen? What was the reason for a better life here? Why didn't – you know, what about the people, the other 100,000 are standing in front of them that did it the right way, still waiting? You know, what should we tell them? Here, if you had broke the law, you could have been citizens, but since you're not, you're going to have to wait. You know, and no, I mean, that's we're a country of laws. Just follow those laws.
And you think building a wall along the Mexican border is a good use of federal money?
It's a start. Yeah, I mean, I've heard how you know, for stopping drugs come across. You know, how they'll maybe they'll use a little plane. They'll use a little drone, bring it across, and have a GPS target on it, so the drug user can pick up the drugs here on this side. I mean, that's to circumvent the wall really quick. But there's also the human piece of it, and it slows down the traffic. And I mean, there's human trafficking going on with this. There's drug deals going on with this. You know, there's like the place in Champaign that got busted for all the illegal aliens working in his company down there just recently. And I mean, he was just found guilty, right? And those people were living in that facility. That's not the best way to live either. So you know, you get all kinds of, you know, there's a lot of bad goes along with illegal immigration to this country.
Why should someone vote for you in the primary?
I'm their best choice. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, I'm their best choice. I'm gonna go the extra mile when I get there. You know, there's some people are not pro-life. For instance, I say I'm pro-life. That doesn't mean 20 weeks. That means I go from day one, and I'm going to push for that. You know, and have the argument that just so people understand. If we have a House of Republicans or a House of pro-life, they don't – some Democrats are pro-life as well. If we have a House of pro-life majority, we have a Senate majority of pro-life, and the president would sign a pro-life bill, why did we compromise in 20 weeks? How many people that say they're pro-life are not really pro-life? And that goes with anything. How many people are pro – you know, or say they're conservative and want a balanced budget? But we're going to wait 10 years for it. Why aren't we passing it now? If we're all about balanced budget and about paying down the debt, you know, what's happening where that's not occurring? So that's you know, I'm here for the American workers, you know, and I'm here to help them keep their jobs, help them have competitive jobs, either through trade or protection from, you know, like maybe we're overusing the H-1A and H-2A and H-2B visas, work visas. Maybe we're overusing those or abusing those, and we know they're abusing those. We hear the stories all around the country where it's being abused. You know, when those positions are only supposed to be here if we have a need for that talent and that it doesn't roll over the wages of the current workers. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for having me.